Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile, Papa na
Grand Rising, Grand Rising, Grand Rising. It's 8 a.m. in the morning here in Las Vegas, Nevada. The air date of this episode is September 29th, 2023. And as we know, or as you know, on Grand Rising with Shabaka, you know, we talk about, you know, the latest news that's been happening all this week and what have you. Also, too, shout outs there to all our supporters and what have you. Also, too, we love our critics. We love our hate mail. So our chat room is open for your hate mail and come in with your ignorance and come in with your intelligence. Oh, I see somebody is reporting for duty this morning.
Hold on. Intro in. Okay. Tuning in to Grand Rise with
Shabaka.
Is this the I just want y'all to know that I was enthralled at your administrative opening, and I just couldn't figure out what to say.
Okay. Well, first
so
of all,
I've just been listening avidly to the administrative remarks, and, you know, like, I've been stunned, and I finally managed to pull myself together enough to, you know, call in and let you know I'm here.
Okay, Sarge, we always appreciate you calling and tell Joe Gibson, you know, we didn't mean, you know, to insult Pianki, and as you witnessed yourself, I tried to reach out to him, but however the cognitive dissonance that he has, you know, the slave mentality is incredible. Okay, man. So I've given up on Pianki, and once again, you know, he runs and hides, you know, what have you, as opposed to standing his ground. Now, one thing about you, Sarge, you and I may not always agree, but one thing we do respect you here, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, Sarge, that Sarge is going to stand his ground. You know what I'm saying? And then it just came across my desk this morning that the former U.S. Senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, you know, has passed away. Okay, so I'm quite sure what they're going to be doing over there in Boys Town is coming out with their funny flags and what have you and boo-hoo-hoo and all that. But my heart still cries and breaks over black men being murdered by the police. My heart cries over those who were murdered on the plantation system, to Emmett Till, to the Scottsboro Boys, to the, what's that there, Brother Che, the Central Park Five, where Donald Trump was calling for the death penalty of these young men and that they were innocent. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the chat room is open. You know, all ass scratches and Yasa bosses are welcome to call in. All Pan-Africanists are welcome to call in. Black people in general are welcome to call in. White people in general are welcome to call in. Just as long as you're respectful, we ain't got no problem with you. But moving right along, okay, and I know, Sarge, you got your notes right there and what have you. I'm yet to have my coffee because I know you've been up for a few hours, okay, and, of course, we know, Sarge, you love Donald Trump. Now, the panties, the governor of Florida, the panties, you know, the transvestite, you know, that wears women's underwear and what have you, and think that we're supposed to forget about the horrors of slavery and we're supposed to sit there and coon and yada, oh, yeah, that's a jolly. Well, you know, his administration, he himself is welcome to call in. And from what I understand, that this individual is a Yale graduate. He was a JAG officer in the military, so which means is that if you're in the military, when DeSantis is in there, you would have to salute that piss poor ass excuse of a human being. But however, ladies and gentlemen, it is what it is. AI is going off the hook, and it's just a matter of time before artificial intelligence realizes that these biological units are the problem on Earth. But however, we do know it is AR that is the virus itself. Okay, Brother Che, your opening comments, and we're going to give it to our guest host, the one and only Sarge. Yes, sir.
Yes, Grand Rising, Shabaka from the Mile High Income City. I want to know Sarge's thoughts on the second Republican debate. I thought it was an utter clown show, but what did you think, Sarge?
Again, you know, I actually didn't even watch it because, you know, I agree with you to some extent about the clown show aspect of it. I mean, you've got all these people jockeying to be number two, and that's, everybody knows at this point that's what they're doing. I guess you're not going to see anything meaningful as far as what they would actually do if they were number one. What you're going to see is people realizing they have to strategize to be number two. And I don't...
Wow.
It's kind of like you say to someone, well, what's the point of it all?
Right.
But you know, I guess Ron DeSantis used it as an opportunity to dominate the debate to the extent that he did. And I don't think he's going to accomplish, or any of them are going to accomplish much of substance as far as making inroads into the electorate's preference. And the electorate being the Republican Party that is sick of the Republican establishment. Make no mistake about it. They are completely sick of every establishment solution, every Bushite initiative, every Dick and Elizabeth Cheney sort of shenanigans. We don't want anything to do with them anymore. Nothing.
Okay.
Well, for better or worse, we'll go on with somebody who's got a different message.
I see. Okay, now I just pulled this rascal up right here, Ron the Panties, and I'm saying, Governor, that you wear woman's underwear, so you're the panties as far as I'm concerned, just like the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay, all right, the panties is the 46th governor of Florida from 2019 to the present. Okay. And let's see here, and they're saying that the panties has a fentanyl horror story, so we're going to read what that is. The truth about the panties fentanyl horror story. The culprit is prohibition, not lax border policing. Okay. All right. The second Republican debate, okay, of the 2024 presidential election campaign cycle took place at the old in Ventura County, you know, where they had the special effects with Grisha Formley and Crazy Glue, that no good bastard who was the 40th president of the United States. And this was the same punk that signed the Mulfer Act into law when he was the governor of the great state of California. Okay. And at various points throughout the night, the topic turned to drug policy. The candidates argued over the proliferation of fentanyl, the synthetic opioid. Oh, synthetic, significantly more potent than morphine or heroin that is often found mixed with other narcotics purchased on the black market. Specifically, the candidates squabbled over who would be most aggressively weaponized the military and federal power in an attempt to prevent illicit fentanyl from reaching American shores. Well, you see, folks, one of the main things that has made America what it is its corporate greed and what they commonly refer to as capitalism. And this is why I was never an advocate of Smithsonian economics. Some of the candidates deployed anecdotes gleaned from the campaign trail of people whose loved ones died of fentanyl overdoses in order to justify increasingly oppressive drug policy. But the panties example is much more complicated than he let on. In Florida, you know, there was an infant, a baby, a year and a half. The panties said parents rented an Airbnb, and apparently the people that had rented it before were using the shit, you know, as in Tales in the Hood, the shit, the doo-doo. Okay. So the infant was crawling, the toddler was crawling on the carpet and ingested fentanyl residue and died. Oh, my God, poor little baby. And we are just going to sit here and let this happen. This carnage happened in our country. I'm not going to do that. As he is in the past, the panties is used the story to illustrate the need for tougher drug and immigration policy up to and including shooting people as they cross the border with Mexico. Okay, that's right along the fervor that you got going on these days. The panties campaign did not respond to clarifying the question by press time, but he seemed to be referring to Enora Lavenier, the 19-month-year-old daughter of a French couple vacationing in Wellington, a small Florida town near West Palm Beach. Okay, well, that is a tragedy, people. You know, poor little baby. You know what I'm saying? You know, little babies are innocent. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, may the little baby, you know, rest in power. But however, ladies and gentlemen, now, the same scenario, right? You got to look at the little babies that were taken out of black mothers' arms on the auction block and never to see their loved ones again. But, you know, ass crackers, yassa bosses like Tim Scott, Pianchi, what have you, they don't want to recognize that horrible fact is because they're so much trying to please massa. Okay, now the baby's mother found her unconscious and foaming at the mouth. The paramedics rushed to the hospital where the little was a child, was pronounced dead. Okay, so therefore the panties, with him being so coarse in his approach, okay, and so insensitive, you know, but however, this is white America's general attitude, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to us of African peoples and Brother Paris, as he would say, foundational black Americans and what have you, we're viewed upon still, ladies and gentlemen, as property. Now, as long as we're out there in Hollywood, you know, wearing women's clothes, the men, you know, the black family unit being shattered, then we're all right, okay? And then when I look at a video that went viral, when I see a man with a beard wearing a woman's wig in class cussing out the teacher, and this dude was about, 6'4", 6'5", you know, and tearing up the classroom because, you know, the teacher stated that, well, I'm going to refer to you as he. And he says, oh, no. Call me by my phone, man. You know, I'm a girl, and I'm a woman, and all that. And keep in mind that this sick-ass individual cannot ovulate, cannot bear children, cannot produce breast milk for infants. So therefore, all you dudes out there with that philosophy of yourselves, I feel sorry for you. I really wish you would stand up and be men, but it probably is not your fault. It's because, as Dr. Francis Kurtz Welsing has stated, you know, according to our co-host right here, very well-read gentleman, the Brother Shane Krumer, and the noise in the background, ladies and gentlemen, is me preparing some coffee, trying to wake up out here in Sin City. And also, too, Sarge, let Joe know, man, out here, man, it's like about 90 degrees, man, so he might come out here, man, and might not have to use sunscreen. You know what I'm saying? And then also to let old boy know what medical procedures is necessary in the event that he does have sunburn or what have you, because I have no knowledge of it. I've never experienced it before in my life, but I would not let anybody
now,
get
hold
out
on
there.
Now, hold on now, Chewbacca. Now, I know I've heard you say that many times, but it's like, you know, Joe is in the landscaping business. He spends a great deal of time outdoors. If you've ever seen pictures of the guy, he has a rather extensive tan.
Okay.
I think he's quite familiar with what procedures he needs to do in order to sustain himself in the sunlight. He's not a vampire.
Okay. Well, glad you brought that up, Sarge, because you see, that's what happens to vampires. They can't stand the sun. So that tells me that they are straight from hell, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? Now, you're a man of faith. You know what I mean? And what have you, you see. But, you know, but you get these ass scratchers and yassa bosses and skinning and grinning brain-dead Negroes who come up here with this all-inclusive free package bullshit and they getting straight passed over, man. But but they sit up there and just say,
just like,
let me go back to what you just spoke to a moment ago. I mean, you spoke quite poignantly to the fact that black women on the auction block would often have their children taken from them, and their wails of anguish were left unrequited and disregarded, and that is quite true.
Right.
But I wish people today would give more attention to the apparent enslavement of tens of thousands of people on the southern border of the United States as we speak. Living people, not people that have been dead over a century and a half, but people who are alive right now who are probably being enslaved, and not just to work, because there's enough of those slaves apparently being put about and being put to by the cartels, but many of them were being sold into sexual slavery as juveniles.
Glad you brought it up, Sarge. Okay, hold on.
So I'm just saying, I would appreciate a little regard for this modern-day slavery enabled by the Democratic Party and the Biden administration as they turned a blind eye to it and the complaints of millions of their constituents in not securing the southern border.
Okay. All right, Sarge. Okay. Well, you know, you are our guest host today, my man, and come on and drop knowledge.
What would the dump be doing better than that?
But you did better than this. We don't have to imagine. I mean, look, did you realize that just last month there were over 230,000 known processed people through the border? This is what they processed through. This doesn't count the ones who escaped and got away. We ain't talking about them. We're talking about the ones they processed. Under Donald Trump, he had the border encounters down to under 50,000 a month. And that included gotaways. We literally had a better policy under Trump. You could measure it. Why are people acting as though that wasn't true?
Okay, Sarge, okay.
I mean, do numbers matter? I mean, do numbers signify anything?
Sarge, they received the same treatment that the Haitians did under Biden.
The Haitians, yeah.
It doesn't matter to me where they're from. China, they're coming from China, they're coming from Pakistan, they're coming from Afghanistan, they're coming from Germany, they're coming from Russia. They're coming from everywhere in the world. The United States is now a way station for illegal aliens.
Sarge.
Okay.
Everywhere. From everywhere.
Sarge. They received the same treatment under Trump that they received under Biden, the black immigrants, like the Haitians.
The same people at the news media said the Border Patrol agents were whipping when they were on horseback using well-established horsemanship techniques to move their horses laterally. And they said, they're whipping the Haitians. Man, I swear, I've never seen such propagandists in my life.
Sarge.
Look at them whipping them poor Haitians. And they never even got an apology from this hideous administration. They got them out there on the border risking their lives. They're getting beaten and they're getting bloodied by these damn illegals and everything else. And they got the nerve to accuse them of whipping Haitians when all they're doing was doing well-established dressage techniques to move their horses sideways as they try to control people from coming into the country illegally, as is their sworn duty.
Sarge.
Okay, now, Sarge, let me ask you.
They put them on planes.
Go ahead, Brother Jay, and I got a question.
They put them on planes and sent them back to Port-au-Prince. Aren't they putting these illegal immigrants from Mexico and other Latin American and South American countries, putting them back on planes and sending them back?
Right.
Yeah, and the problem is they're not sending enough of them. They need to send more of them from Haiti, more of them from Venezuela, more of them from El Salvador, more of them from Ecuador, more of them from Germany, more of them from Russia, more of them from Pakistan, more of them from Afghanistan. All of them need to go, but they won't. They're here, and that means the Democrats are achieving their goal of replacing the population. We're not compliant enough.
Well,
we're not compliant enough with the New World Order's diktat. And so what they got to do now is replace us, because they denied they're actually replacing us. We better wake up.
You get no argument from me about the demo rat, Sarge, but that still doesn't answer my question. Would they receive the same treatment under Trump that they're receiving under Biden? Would Trump have put them back on planes and sent them back to their homelands?
Yes, he was sending everybody he caught that fell under the Title 42 criteria. He was sending as many of them back as he could, and that would include Haitians. Yes.
Okay, but see, Sarge, is a unique thing about Haiti, Sarge, as you know, is because, you see, the raping, slave trading pedophile Thomas Jefferson, when he addressed the U.S. Congress in 1804, due to the Haitian Revolution, Sarge, Jefferson said that we got to ban, you know, the importation of African slaves. It's because, see, they were born free. But, however, the dudes that we buck-braked right here and the black woman that we've been raping, say, for a few decades now during that time in history, we got enough of them niggas that we can go on there and produce our own. So we'll go up there and violate the black woman. You see what I'm saying?
That's
on a systemic basis. Okay. And, you know, and we ain't got to worry about that because they don't want us being men, Sarge. Now, Sarge, how do you think that they will feel about
on,
you, Sarge?
On.
Yes.
Hold on. We got a caller, 317, last 49614. What's your name and where you calling from? 317. Last 46914. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Shalom, Mr. Maswan, Indianapolis.
Hey, yes, sir. Good morning to you, sir. And thank you for joining us.
Shalom, watching you. It's Grand Rising for me. I just woke up, so.
Yes, sir. We got the one and only Sarge on here with us. Now, Sarge is a brother, Vietnam vet. He loves the dump, okay, but Sarge stands his own ground, and we give it to Sarge. Sarge is well-read, you know, like on some of his contemporaries, Joe Gibson, Ass Scratching Pianki, what have you. You see what I'm saying? And as you witnessed yourself yesterday, Sarge, I tried to reach out to Pianki.
Now look, Pianki is every bit as well-read as I am. You just don't agree with his take on issues. That's all.
Okay.
But he's never been as well-read as I am.
Pianki is the definition of a house Negro. He does this shit on every platform that he goes to. I've seen him on Jason Black. I've seen him on Tariq Nasheed. I've seen him on all these pro-black militant platforms I watch and listen to. And he does the same
Shay, I am not pretending for a microsecond to be a spokesman for Pianki. Pianki is more than capable of speaking for himself. He doesn't need me.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you this. Much of what you hear in Pianki, when he pointedly criticizes black leadership, particularly black leadership in education, is the fact that he is absolutely disgusted, and I mean disgusted, as am I, with the dismal results of these black leaders who dominate these black cities where the black population is concentrated. They cannot even meet basic educational standards by every single metric that you can measure in terms of proficiency in reading, proficiency in mathematics, comprehensive guides, just basic order in the school. We ain't even talking about, you know, being well-educated, just having basic order and discipline in the school. Yeah, now you can criticize his commentary, but you cannot criticize his sincerity, because believe me, he understands perfectly well the key to black survival and improvement is education, meaningful education that prepares us for meaningful careers. And I think he's absolutely right to raise these objections.
Okay, now, Sarge, if I may interrupt, based on your reasoning,
which is very public indoctrination.
Okay. All right, but okay, if I may.
Go ahead.
Okay, yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir, Brother Che. Everything that you said that I agree with, everything that Sarge says that I agree with, but the main one, Sarge, who perpetuates that garbage and miseducation and misinformation that you are so well and intellectually had expressed was a dude by the name of A. Thomas Sewell. Okay? Another one that falls in that category is a no-good sack of shit by the name of Larry Elders. And another brain-dead, ass-scratching, Yasa boss who has a JD degree is Leo Terrell. And what you just said there, Sarge, in an indirect way, that you are in total agreement that these Negroes are dangerous, and particularly to our youth. And I agree with you.
Let me understand. Now, I understand you may take exception to people like Larry Elder and people like Thomas Sowell and people like Bianchi. I understand you can take exception to what they say. But if they told you to look both ways before crossing a busy street, would you say to yourself, you know what? That Bianchi is a coon and a tom and full of it. I'm not going to look both ways while I cross this busy street. I'm just going to go across the street straight ahead, eyes straight ahead, proud, upright, like a courageous black man ought to. Well, I tell you what. The consequences just might be severe for disregarding good advice from any source.
Okay, but sorry, I agree with you on that. Okay, that's a universal law and principle, just like 2 plus 2 equals 4. I'm not saying that I hate Bianchi. The man is very well educated, you know what I'm saying, very articulated and what have
you. And committed, committed to black people's improvement.
Okay, but being a carbon copy of the slave master is not an improvement, sir. Actually, that's countermanding it. Because, you know, let's look at Carter G. Woodson when he wrote his book about the miseducation of the Negro. You see what I'm saying? It's because I believe that that he had stated that when it comes to black history, the black scholar is taught to love the European, he's taught to love and worship the Greek and the Roman, but he is taught to despise the Africa. And keep in mind, Africa is the cradle of civilization. As we was on Joe's show, it was African women that gave the world the concept of feminine hygiene. And then, man, our people had to show these filthy Greeks and Europeans how to wash their nasty, stinking asses. We really did. And that's where Bianchi disagreed with me at. Bianchi's up there telling me that black people came from caves. The Negro is sick, man. You know what I'm saying? We were in mom and I dead when the European was in caves. We were gave the world trigonometry, geometry. And then the fuck boys from Greece, they come up there and steal the knowledge and claim it for themselves. Professor George G.M. James said that in The Stolen Legacy. But then here you go, got all these miseducated. Oh, yeah, the boss. Yeah, you the boss. Do No, people. That day is beyond us. We are better than that. This is not hatred for any particular group. All we did is that we must quit hating ourselves and love ourselves. How we want to go out here and want to love these other groups that clearly despise and hate us because they can't be us. And it's 90 degrees approaching in Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't need no sunscreen out here. I love the sun. You know what I'm saying? Hey, to quote the words of the former heavyweight champion. To quote the words of the heavyweight champ, I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. Hey, man, bluebirds stay with bluebirds, blackbirds stay with blackbirds, and whitebirds stay with whitebirds. Hey, man, I love my people.
Right.
Well, one thing, Brother Ali eventually did come to realize that it had not been for a man who decided not to stay with bluebirds because he was a robin. Named Abe O'Grady, he wouldn't have lived. Because that man was his great-grandfather. He would not exist were it not for Abe O'Grady. Maybe I could do just as well with a bluebird, even though I'm a cardinal.
Okay? Sarge.
So I say, even Muhammad Ali came to understand such things, what we would call a paradox. Muhammad Ali understood the nature of paradox toward the end of his life.
Okay, which is a contradiction, which is true. Okay, that's what a paradox
exactly.
is. Okay,
exactly.
Like they say, a hummingbird mathematically cannot fly, but yet the hummingbird flies is quite agile up, down,
quite well.
Left, right. You
very
know?
Well.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds can hover.
Yeah, exactly. And now, also, too, Basarge, that still does not take away from the horror and the brutalization. You see what I'm saying? Even the heavyweight champion sacrificed Basarge, you know, 3 years of his prime. You know what I'm saying? Standing up, being a proud black man. You see what I'm saying? It's because when they came to that auction block, Sarge, older Sarge, when they came to that auction block, look at a movie called The Imitation of Life, man. You see, now you're yet to address that issue right there. And if you are if you are not human, and if you do not have any kind of heart, and if you, when you saw, but when you saw both versions of those films in 1934 and 1959, and if you did not get mad, sad, or angry or upset, you are not human. See, Sarge, this is the problem with the Pianki Knights, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm an American citizen. Man, why are you going to sit up here and claim that you're a citizen of a racist, slave trading, pedophile country that came up here and gave the indigenous people here blankets of smallpox? Why are you going to sit up there and talk about, man, that you love a nation so much that's had the Trail of Tears where Chief Joseph had marched his people all the way from Tennessee up there to the Pacific Northwest? That's brutalization.
I tell you why. Because if the United States was alone in a matter of such atrocities, and believe me, the United States is not the only nation in the world has committed atrocities, and many of the nations have committed comparable atrocities that were of infinitely greater magnitude. If the United States was the only country doing this sort of thing in its history, then I might agree with you, but it ain't. What against me is this unique desire to overlay a particular grievance against the United States as though nowhere else in mankind did it ever exist, to include Mother Africa herself.
Sarge.
I mean, it's just amazing how people can do this.
Sarge.
During chattel slavery was not practiced until...
So we're saying that only one system of slavery was practiced in Africa, despite the fact there are 3,000 ethnic groups and languages. They all practiced slavery the same way. They all treated their slaves identically.
No, they didn't.
There was many different types of slavery in the, both the, either the benignness or the brutality as there were different African tribes.
No, it wasn't, Sarge. It's because research that we have done over the years, Sarge, you know, and Brother Che, and keep in mind, my research, man, you know, goes well over 40 years now. And this is why I appreciate you, Brother Che, because when we be getting old and a little bit of senility is starting to set in, man, you definitely keep us up to breast on. Okay, as I try to explain to Pianki, Sarge, is that off in the continent, okay, and PLO Lumumba, Professor PLO Lumumba, who's a great source of information for this, okay, is that when one nation fought the other nation, because I don't use the word tribe, describing our people, you know, that's a primitive term, so when you say tribe, the first thing that comes to my mind is nasty Vikings, filthy British, nasty-ass French, barbaric Belgians, you know, stuff like that. The
tribes are not just limited to Africa. You find tribes all over the world. In fact, most of Europe was tribal before they became nation states. Europe was the same way.
That is true, Sarge. That is very true. But see, in the public lexicon and the public indoctrination system, they do not teach us that. They teach us that only tribes were in Africa.
Well, that's why we're here to educate people. That's why we're here to educate people. When they divorce words from the universal application, you get distortion. That's why we are here to ensure that people understand words what they're intended to mean. The Scottish had clans which were tribes. They would war with each other and with the British. I mean, in Yugoslavia, the very definition of Balkanization is tribes. In Germany and border, you have the Frankish clans warring with each other, too. All throughout human history, clans have warred with each other. Tribes have warred with each other. We need to make this understanding. Tribes are just not in Africa, although Africa is probably the most extensive example of it. I mean, they got so many different languages and ethnic groups. That is probably the biggest single obstacle to them forming the sort of pan-African nation state that you and others seem to desire so much.
Yeah, because they're still on that tribalism, and they don't identify.
It's a bigger problem in Africa than just about anywhere else in the world.
But gentlemen, that is from the Euro, the Europeans' influence. You see what I'm saying? Okay, this is why we play African Sunset by the one and only Miss Miriam McKee, so who is a very outspoken critic of it. Now, Sarge, before we move on, I just got to ask you, because you're a little bit older than me, how do you feel about Mama Africa, Miss Miriam McKee?
I liked her music. You know, I always liked her sort of perky music with the clicks and the vowel sounds, and I thought it was really entertaining. As far as the political significance, I never was that much aware of it. What take do you have on Ms. McKeeba?
Okay, Ms. McKeeba, as you know, was
in the horrors of apartheid in Tanzania.
Exactly. And she was the wife of Hugh Masekela. She was also the wife of Brother Kwame Ture as well, too. She was exiled from Tanzania because of her political beliefs. And then when she got back to Tanzania, you know, they refused to let her out. And Ms. McKeeba passed away early in the 21st century. And I believe she was 78 years old, you see. So she made a great sacrifice. And this is why on Grand Rising and on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, we always are playing her music in our introduction of African Sunset.
She's an Oxa. She's from the Oxa tribe, wasn't she?
Yeah, Xhosa. X-H-O-S-A is pronounced, brother, it's pronounced Xhosa. And the way that you could tell the distinction is because they speak in the click language. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And her music
also
reflected that.
Yes, sir. And then also, too, and she was part Zulu as well, too. See, this is the type of information that they don't want black children to have about their ancestral land. And that's like I was trying to tell Pianki, is that he is so brain dead and so transfixed, saying, oh, man, well, we started here. No, we didn't. We gave the earth the scientists. We navigated across the Sahara, you know, with the stars. Just like what happened was, and then the savages from Europe, you know, they foul, funky, thinking asses. No, okay, say that again, Brother Chair.
We're describing Shabaka, the Sahara or the Saharan wasn't always a desert.
Yeah.
So during that
time,
it was pretty much lush. It was kind of like the Congo, in a sense. And then the Ice Age hit. And that's what changed.
We know. I mean, we find whales fossils in the Sahara Desert. So we know at one time the Sahara Desert was underwater. It was an ocean. And so we know that. But I'm saying that it did change. It did become what it became today, which was a barrier to navigation during the era of civilization starting 10,000 years ago. So the Sahara Desert was a huge barrier to navigation and commerce and trade and technology, which is why I believe Africa lagged behind that of other places, because they simply did not have the interaction and trade Europeans and Asians had along the Silk Road, of Marco Polo.
Okay, Sarge, later for Marco Polo. Okay, see, Sarge, we love you here, Sarge, but I'm going to call it like I see it, man. See, because you keep going to Eurocentric sources, but they came and stole shit from us. Now, get this here, people.
Oh, that didn't start until the 19th century. So you mean all those other centuries, all of those that didn't have any Europeans going in the interior of Africa, all of their commerce was on the coast of Africa, where they negotiated with tribal chieftains for the behavior, where in fact many of the tribal chieftains would force their rule. They would hang rogue European slave traders who didn't follow the rules. Now, the Europeans didn't start to go into the interior of Africa until after the Berlin Conference as you like to point out, it was in the late 19th century when they even went into the interior.
Yeah,
okay,
Sarge.
Let me.
Stanley and Leopold and what they
yeah,
were
yeah, right. Who, yeah, two savages. Yeah.
Again, in the 19th century.
Okay, now Sarge, we're turning back the calendar a little.
Man, what happened all the other centuries before that?
That's what I'm about to tell you, Sarge. Listen to this, Sarge. Now, we're talking about Mansa Musa, who reigned between 1312 to 1337. He was the ninth Mansa of the Mali Empire, which reached its territorial peak during his reign. Musa is known for his wealth and generosity. See, now, keep in mind, people, wealth and generosity. Okay, see, we showed too much generosity when these pink individuals came over there on our continent with their foul, stinking asses. Because you remember when we was talking about bathing, Sarge, on Joe Gibson's show? You see, the Euros didn't believe in washing their nasty, stinking, funky asses. See, this is why you had the Black Plague of Europe, okay? Because they didn't bathe. But Mansa Musa, okay, he reached his territorial peak during his run. Musa was known for his wealth and generosity. He has been subject to popular claims that he is the wealthiest person in history. But the extent of his actual wealth is not known with any... Okay. Switched on. Okay. All righty. Okay, his wealth was not known with any certainty. Okay, it is known from local manuscripts and travelers' accounts that Mansa Musa's wealth came principally from the Mali Empire, controlling and taxing the trade in salt from northern regions and especially from gold panned and mined in the gold-richest regions to the south. Bamboo, Wangara, Bure, Galam, Taipaza, and other such kingdoms over many centuries. Over a very long period, Mali had created a large reserve of gold. Okay?
The Conquistadors got wind of what Mansa Musa.
Okay. Now you see, now you're finally getting to an African who actually did.
Okay.
When you talk about Mansa Musa, you're finally talking about an African who actually participated in commerce with Europe. In the 14th century, this guy turned up at Cairo on his way to Mecca. That was Mansa Musa. He crossed the desert with, guess what, 500 slaves in his retinue. He carried a solid gold staff that weighed 4 pounds, and kings and popes depended upon the gold that came from his treasury because he traded with Europeans for that gold. And again, his empire and his riches were based upon slavery, literally based on slavery.
Sarge,
500 slaves
Sarge,
he crossed the Sahara
Sarge,
Desert with.
Sarge, listen to me. Okay.
2 months.
Slavery.
It took him two months to get across the Sahara.
That he had, Sarge, not the so-called slaves.
But see.
That's not what we consider. That's not what we would consider slaves.
You might want to talk to the slaves about that one and see what they consider.
They were incorporated into the empire, Sarge. That's the same way King Shaka does the
empire. And every single African slave trading empire treated their slaves the same way. They had Mansa Musa.
No, Sarge. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. They were incorporated into the empire.
Oh, you eat after us, or our family goes before your family. But it was no. I'm gonna dehumanize you. And I'm going to own your children for generations to generations to generations.
Exactly.
Then
I'm going to violate your wife. Then I'm going to violate all the females in your family. You see what I'm saying? And then the Europeans, when he was doing this shit, he was violating little boys. It's because they are inherently pedophiles.
Okay. Now, you do know they treated slaves differently as a general rule as to whether a person was captured in war or not. People who were captured in war were treated, and as a result of race, were treated far more brutally than the other kind of established slave customs. In fact, if they didn't have any value to them to be participants in the slave trade, then they were frequently dispatched and done away with or even sacrificed. So it depends upon what the people viewed the slaves as value for.
Okay.
It was a catch-as-catch-can. There was no universal principle of slavery when it came to every single African ethnic group.
They were not enslaved until perpetuity, meaning forever.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, you're enslaved, and now the next eight generations after you are enslaved as well. It wasn't like that, Sarge.
So you're telling me that there was a nuance in the treatment of slaves in Africa. Is that what you're telling me?
No, Sarge. What we're telling you is this here. Okay. It was more incorporating them. Okay, they were mainly incorporating them into the the empire. Okay, but however though, as Brother Warren had humiliated Joe Gibson with, is that in the United States, slavery was simply based on the color of your skin. Now, what proves this? Okay, is when you look at the story of 12 years as a slave. This brain-dead, ass-scratching Negro thought he was an American, and he went down south, and correct me if I'm wrong on it, Brother Chad, okay, is that he was brought into slavery or chattel slavery simply for the color of his skin. But you get ass-scratchers like Uncle Tim Scott, Corey Walker, other sack of shit down there.
Come on, back into slavery, yeah.
Yeah. Other asshole, brain-dead individual down there. What's his name? Warlock, Hadnock, or whatever. And the sad part about it is that when you get these miseducated, ignorant assholes, the white media has a very, very bad habit thinking that they're speaking for the majority of black people when it is the exact opposite. You see what I'm saying? You see? And that there is the problem right there. You see, and the cold part about it is the people, man, you know, the miseducational system and what have you, you know, they perpetuate this here, man, and they just keep it going, you see, you know, by what they're told. You see what I'm saying? And what have you know, and then like I said, sad part about it is that video showing that young man wearing a woman's wig and a beard, cussing out his teacher, talking about addressing him as a woman. See, that's Eurocentric shit. You see what I mean? Okay, because don't you know, Sarge? Okay, because don't you know, Sarge, in African nations, man, when a dude came up there talking about he's liking boys, do you know what they would tell him, Sarge? They would say, hey, man, check this out. Okay, they would tell him, man, you got one or two choices. One is, man, you can go up here and go get you some nookie and get your mind right, okay? Or you're going to have to leave the empire. You're being exiled. You come back here, we will kill you, okay? That was because great emphasis was placed on Sarge of the procreation of life, and that there only happens between the union of man and woman. You know, like how Sarge, when you was driving down there on Michigan Avenue, you see the old big butt black girl, you see it just wiggling, jiggling, all that, and you know, you might want to put your napkin holder up there, you know, for your next guy who's going to bash upside the head to preserve yourself. But I know, Sarge, you have said it down there, particularly in Chicago, boy, look at them shits work that thing. So then the rape and slave trade pedophile did the same thing on the plantation system because his woman did not have the attributes of the black woman, and then not to mention the fact the raping, slave trading pedophile was always violating black girls. So what does the white woman do? Like an emotion picture man, Dingo, you know, that Ollie really crumb-bumped on Kid Norton about, hey, you better come up here and do it to me or I'm going to tell the raping, slave trading pedophile that you raped me and you really got a problem. So the brother in that situation is damned if he do. Damned if he doesn't. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, Sarge, there you go with psychological torture right there, you see? And then, of course, we're not going to mention that old scumbag and tramp Carolyn Bryant who's going to go tell her brother and her brother-in-law is that, well, you know,
Emmett Till whistled at my ugly ass. You know what I'm saying? Now you all got to go out there and kill him and all of that. And then that raggedy ass wench, you know, should have went right straight to friggin' prison.
Okay.
Oh, no. She's too old and all that. Okay, see, Sarge, so this is not hatred, Sarge. All what we do here on this platform, Sarge, is that we advocate that we quit hating ourselves and loving others. You see, they want us to love others and hate ourselves. See, that's what Pianki's problem is. That's what Joe Gibson's problem is. You see, Pianki is full of self hatred, and he wants to be accepted by the white man. And even Ozzie Davis had even did an excellent lecture on that. Malcolm X did excellent lectures on that. Sarge, there ain't nothing wrong loving the legacy of where we come from, but however, why you want to sit up here and place more emphasis that your bloodline is tainted by these raping, slave-trading pedophiles than the original people and greatness of where we come from, brother? Come on, man.
I mean, it's as though we cannot recognize the truth of a paradox. I'm not extolling. Look, I told you this a million times. I am not proud of the fact of any of my ancestry. I'm not proud of it because I had nothing to do with it. I didn't have any choice about it. I didn't have any way to intervene in it. I had nothing whatsoever to do with it other than accept the biological reality of having been conceived. That's why I'm not proud of it. Here's what I do, Chewbacca. I acknowledge it. Whether I want it or not, it is there. And I'm not going to sit up here spending my life whining about things I cannot change at all and, in fact, are directly responsible for my existence. I am not going to waste a microsecond of time anguishing about that. I am simply going to be grateful for the fact that that's what it took to enable me to live. It has nothing to do with celebrating any of it, because I had nothing to do with any of it. Now, I'm grateful to them for having existed so I could exist. That's it.
Okay.
I'm grateful to them. I'm not proud of them. I'm not proud of any of them. Any. Not the black ones, not the white ones.
I see. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge.
All right, so I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to elevate anything over. I'm acknowledging it.
Okay, Sarge. Let me
go on to the next point, because you said a lot of things there that need responding to. And is among the most important things. That gentleman who was 12 years a slave, kidnapping even a free man, a free colored man, kidnapping him was illegal even then. He ultimately appealed to the legal system to get his freedom back when he was illegally kidnapped.
Okay, besides.
People are committing crimes in the slave trade today as we speak.
Okay,
how illegal is slavery today? How illegal is slavery today? It's illegal everywhere, but people are doing it as we speak. In fact, there are more slaves alive today than there were in the 19th century during the height of the Atlantic slave trade.
Okay, Sarge.
It's illegal, Chewbacca, and it's still going on.
Sarge. See, we only concern ourselves with our people, man, regardless of the spectrum. We could care less about these Eurocentric pink people, Sarge. This isn't bigotry. This isn't hatred. Because you could best believe when it comes down to it, Sarge, is that you come out here to Las Vegas in this sun, right? Okay, and you put that pink individual. Okay, we're going into overtime. Okay, so we'll... Yeah, go ahead. Okay, now let me say this right here. Okay, but what it is, though, Sarge, see, what we deal here with is our people first, okay? Of course, we got a lot of issues historically. This is why we got to take care of ourselves first, is because everybody else is capitalizing off of our resources, capitalizing off of our discoveries, capitalizing off of our technology, our ingenuity. You see what I mean? Okay, and it's just simply time for us, Sarge, to be concerned for ourselves, as Brother Chase is black. First, because it's up to us, Sarge, to take care of us. People like the dump, as in human shit, and that transvestite, as in the panties, and yeah, Governor of Florida, I'm talking about you. I'm saying you wear pink panties and that you're a transvestite. Yes, I'm making that point perfectly clear, to quote another no-good crook by the name of old Tricky Dick. Okay, but what it is, Osage, the day of Boss Weesick is over, man. Look what's happening in the black communities of Chicago, Denver, New York City, Los Angeles, Oakland. It's up to us to take care of ourselves, Sarge. We cannot be worried about these individuals no more. That's all I'm saying, Sarge. That's all.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think that we need a communities of people, no matter what their motivation is, to go out in mass waves of looting and criminality and vandalism? Do you think that all of a sudden, when you get your imagined African-ruled society, that these people are going to have to be reined in and disciplined? Do you think it's going to stop with these people? No, it won't.
Sarge.
You cannot.
Yeah.
These societies that you regularly speak to, particularly these Marxist societies, when they come to power, you know some of the first people they get rid of? The radicals and the revolutionaries who caused all the disorder that enabled the Marxists to come to power. Because they know more than anybody the importance of maintaining order, even to the point of standing them up against the wall and shooting them.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, look, we cannot countenance. Look, no society can countenance disorder and discipline and people who are abysmally ignorant and useful for nothing but tools to foment disorder so others can gain power at their expense.
Okay, but Sarge, let me ask you this right here. Now, here's something else I'm reading here. It's Sister Miriam McKeeba had stated, too. Now, not
we're
getting off the point, Sarge.
We're in overtime, Sarge, so don't nobody hang up.
Okay.
And put a plug at any time.
Okay, now here's my closing comment right here. Okay, I'm reading here over here in regard to the Emancipation's Empire of the Mandate. As you know, Sarge, a lot of our history was passed down orally. You see what I'm saying? From the griots and what have you. Okay. So therefore, so when the Euro savage had came over there, you know, he wanted to write shit. And he would write down lies and stuff like that. And the Sister Mary McKeeba would say is that we passed down our traditions orally, but it doesn't exist until the European came there and wrote it down. You see what I'm saying? And he says, well, poof, you came into existence because we discovered you, which is utterly ridiculous.
You know what part of the problem with an oral history that is passed down through generations is each subsequent retelling is very much prone to distortion. The great thing about the written word is it is fixed and immutable, because when you write it down, unless you alter it, it stays the same for centuries. It's not subject to aging. It's not subject to mental disorders. It's not subject to exaggeration. It's not subject to distortion or misuse for propaganda or social or political purposes. It is fixed and written. That's the problem with this griot thing. You think every single retelling was accurate to the original one? I doubt it, especially when it comes down over hundreds of years.
Okay, but Sarge, check this out. Okay, if you were here with me in Las Vegas, Sarge, if we was off in a casino, man, I might take you up there on that $50 bet. It's because these assholes from Europe, they write shit, man, and what they do is that they distort it, you know, like they do Hollywood movie script.
Yeah, like
okay.
A griot's word can be distorted. Yes, same thing.
The thing is about the griot, he spent his whole life remembering the history. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he never ages,
though.
He never has a problem with memory or anything.
But Sarge, this is why when the griot would come down, you know, from his location to speak to history, he would tell the people, get your notepads, get your tape recorders, get all your devices or whatever you need, because I'm going to be out here for about 72 hours straight, and I'm not going to repeat myself. Now, these assholes from Europe, they always alternating, changing shit to fit them. The biggest lie that they told, well, we're all the same. No, we're not. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, see, the Vikings, we don't care about them thinking.
Did the Europeans say we're all the same, or did they say these African peoples are some sort of subspecies of human being? Which is it?
Which is it? The Europeans said that Africans are subspecies. Then when you get in here to the America, then you get these integrationists who sit up there and say that we all the same.
Integrationists in the 18th century?
I'm talking about the civil rights era, Sarge, when you and I was just alive.
Well, that's a lot later than isn't it? You done made a big jump from slavers in the 16th and 17th centuries. Now you're in the 1950s, 20th century, within living memory, the United States. You left out a lot of history in between.
Okay, but Sarge, we put a lot of history in between, Sarge. This is why we love having you on this show, Sarge. Regardless if you're wrong or not, Sarge, you stick to your guns, and I respect you for that.
So does Bianchi. He sticks to his guns, too.
Bianchi hates himself, Sarge. Bianchi hates himself. I feel sorry for Bianchi. I will no longer engage Bianchi. It's because he has that disease himself.
If you look at the achievements of his children, his son and his grandchildren, it is clear he had love for them, he had esteem for them, and he encouraged them to be the best, most excellent version of themselves. I do not think a person with self-esteem problems and self-hatred could possibly inspire his children and his grandchildren to the heights of accomplishment that he has with his. I just don't believe it.
Okay, Sarge, the only thing I could tell you about me is this, and I can only say this here so far. I myself, over the course of my lifetime, I've interacted with those in the street, and I've spoken to bank presidents, man, and corporate leaders, okay, and that's as far as I can go on that. You see what I'm saying? I always try to carry myself in a proud, respectful manner. Case in point, to prove this point. Berkeley, California, Brother Che, when you and I were supposed to go cuss out that wretched Ann Coulter, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, COVID hit. Okay. I'm in Berkeley,
she can be
Sarge.
Weird.
Okay.
She can be
okay.
weird.
I'm in
I
Berkeley,
admit.
Sarge. Okay. I'm in Berkeley, Sarge, and I see this brother from Nigeria. Okay. He's sitting on a bench, okay? I'm sitting on a bench, and a white guy is sitting on a bench. So the brother from Nigeria had the copper right here. We got to talking about the copper, right? He said how good it is for arthritis and healing and what have you.
I want to step up on him. It's flooding like a motherfucker.
Okay. Okay. And what happens is, Sarge, white fella sitting across the way, he butts in the conversation. And I said, white fella, would you please stay out of our conversation? This is a conversation between one African to another. You see what I mean? And his mouth falls open and all that, you see, because he wasn't invited into the conversation. And one thing that I learned about growing up in the mean streets of Los Angeles, Sarge, you know what I'm saying, man, you got to know how to keep your mouth shut. You don't get into grown folks' business. Like, if I see two Europeans or two Irish dudes talking about their history and they getting drunk and all that, I'm not going to get in that conversation, even if they invite me into it. Hey, you gentlemen, have a nice day, because you Irish were slave traders, too. Why do you think you got so many black folks with the surnames of McNeil, McWilliams, McDonald? See, but you don't address these issues here, though, Sarge. Neither does Joe Gibson. You guys run away from it. You see what I'm saying? Bianchi, you know, I pity him. Yes, see? And he talks about me like a dog, you know what I'm saying? Because the reason, because there's no argument with undisputed truth, Sarge. You see, I got credentials, too. I just can't say them publicly on the air. You see what I mean? Brother Che.
But I don't understand how it is that I never run away from any issue dealing with history and society. In fact, I respond to every single thing you say when you give me the chance to. I don't run away from a thing. And look, if you can establish via the historical record, yeah, that hated down written thing that Europeans did, and by the way, so did Islamists, so did Muslims. They had written languages and they wrote things down. If you can establish things historically, you know, via a record, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to say, okay, that's true, but this, is also true, or you failed to take this into consideration. There is no subject. There is no historical subject that you can raise that I will not respond to. None. Zero.
Okay.
All you got to do is establish it to me, to my satisfaction, and then I'll move on from there, having conceded the point of whatever it is that you brought up.
Okay. Now, Timbuktu, Sarge. Okay, you heard that old saying, I'll beat your ass Timbuktu. Okay, now, see, Sarge, now they got a university there, Sarge, in Timbuktu. And guess what it's called, Sarge? Yeah, and guess what the name is?
That was in Mali. The city is the biggest, is the most important city in Mali, the capital, I guess.
Okay, and guess what the name of this university is, Sarge? It's going to blow your friggin' mind, man. Guess what the name of it is, Sarge? The University of Sankore. You see, that's what your idiot partner, Pianchi, fail to
But I'm trying to understand, though. I'm trying to understand. I mean, I understand they had a concentrated center of learning there. I mean, I realize that. But you do realize that, you know, the Spanish Empire used to be a great empire once upon a time. It's a shadow of itself today. You can't consistently rest on past laurels as though you could translate into the present. No matter how great they may have been, the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire is no more. The Eastern Roman Empire is no more.
Who cares?
Things
about
come and
the
go.
Romans,
hell, you guys are talking right now about the decline of the United States. I mean, many of you are eagerly predicting the eventual demise of our country as a constitutional republic.
Okay.
I mean, these things come and go. All of you, and that includes Timbuktu, that includes Mali, that includes the Ethiopian Empire. That includes all of them. But you can't consistently rest on the past as some sort of vindication for the present.
On the past is the next step to the future.
The first step.
You don't know where you've been.
That's the concept of Sankofa. Yeah, that's the concept of Sankofa, Sarge. But they don't teach that there in the public indoctrination.
All right. You would not allow me for a microsecond to bring up the greatness of the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and their contribution to the civilization today, to include Africa and China and Asia, the influence they had on the. You will not allow me to bring that up without
because
pointing out their barbarity. Right? I mean,
Sarge,
you wouldn't allow me to, would you?
Sarge.
Even though it's true. See what I mean? That's what you do. See? Your fallback position is that everything that they did and they contributed was stolen. And that isn't true either.
Yes, that ain't my words, Sarge. That's Professor George G.M. James and Stolen Legacy, Sarge. And I mean, and then these homosexuals by the name of Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, man, they stole that knowledge. Read Professor George G.M. James. They were savages, Sarge. They were filthy. They was pedophile. They didn't wash their asses, Sarge.
Okay.
And you place
these
savages up above the great legacy of where they come from, Sarge.
What would you say was the biggest single influence on the educational centers in Timbuktu? Because I'll tell you what I think it was. It was the Islamic slave trader influence. That was the biggest single influence on the educational institutions in Timbuktu.
The madrasas
that they established at the University of Timbuktu.
Sarge.
Now again, an Islamic one of the biggest slave traders in the history of mankind. What are we supposed to make of that?
Or the Persian.
Okay, Sarge.
Islamic law was the core of the teachings in Timbuktu.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. the only thing I can say about that is this, okay, is that we are placing emphasis on ourselves. This is what Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced is. The key word is enhanced, okay? We are not worried about no Romans. We are not worried about no Greeks.
Okay? I'm talking about Timbuktu that you just brought up.
Okay, okay. Hold on, Sarge.
I'm directly referring to Timbuktu and the University of Timbuktu.
Hold on, Sarge. Okay, is that what it is, Sarge, is that there is regions of the world where our people originated is so vast and so ancient. It's original. You see what I'm saying? So what we're going to have to do on this here, Sarge, because you're a very, very well-read dude, okay? So what I got to do here, Sarge, I got to go through my books right here because, you know, debating with you, Sarge, is like Ali Frazier in a thriller in Manila. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, now wait a minute. I just want to know before you go any further, do you disagree with my central thesis about the institution that you just cited, the University of Timbuktu, that its core was Islamic, and the and the Muslims were the greatest, most vast, most prolific slave traders in the history of mankind? Now, do you agree with that or you disagree with it?
Okay, Sarge, as I stated,
are you aware that if astronomy was taught there, mathematics was taught there?
Yes, I am aware of it, but you're still evading my question. Yes, I'm aware of all of that. Religion, arts, and sciences, they taught all of it there. They were every bit as extensive in their teachings as any of the European universities of the time, if not more so. I'm acknowledging all of that. But you're avoiding my question that the core of their teaching, its fundamental philosophical organizational principles were Islamic. And the Muslims were the greatest slave traders in the history of the world. Nobody sold more slaves. No one traded more extensively in slaves than did the Islamic cultures and nations.
Okay,
so not even the British swords? Not the
nobody. I said nobody. No one. No. Not if you believe in numbers.
I disagree with you. Okay, Sarge, I disagree with you on that.
Are you talking about
but what I have to do with you, Sarge. Yeah, see, now there you go with it right there.
Because less than a million slaves. Wait a minute. Less than a million slaves were transported to the North American continent. Less than a million were transmitted via the transatlantic slave trade. Now the British were maybe number two.
The British
were maybe number two, but that was
only 6%. Only 6% of the Africans that were transported from Africa during the transatlantic slave trade arrived in what is now North America.
And once again, the Portuguese, as they call it, transferred a great deal of them to Brazil. And then they went up there and tried to tell Her Majesty in Zinga, well, you know, you're a colony of Portugal. And what did Her Majesty say? She says, look, man, you take this bullshit, man, and you get up out of here, man. You know, and you got like about 72 hours to get your asses up out of here. And then Her Majesty, with her lovely, elegant ass, went there and told her warriors, when them Portuguese come here, kill them. Okay? We ain't listening to shit they got to say. You see?
But Shabaka,
yes, sir.
But Shabaka, you do know that most of the Islamic slave trade was not conducted transatlantically. Most of it was done over trade routes that existed within land trade routes between, like, around the Mediterranean and overland. That's why they could move so many more. They didn't have the logistics of shipping. They didn't have to work. All they had to do was organize caravans and move the slaves out.
Sarge,
are you aware that the Ottoman Empire, one-fifth of its population was slaves?
That's another Islamic country.
From the Black Sea, though. Slave imports from the Black Sea. Slave trade alone from the time period was estimated at 2.5 million.
Where?
The Black Sea.
In Russia, yeah. In what time period are you speaking of?
17th, 18th century. Or 16th.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. I can't remember the exact number, but that sounds close enough for me.
Okay. Now, what we're gonna do here? Sorry.
But again, when you're talking
okay.
about when you're talking about the Ottoman Empire, you're talking about the Turks. You're talking about another Islamic empire. The Ottoman Empire was certainly yeah. Islamic.
That doesn't answer my question, Sarge. I said, who had more slaves, the Ottoman Empire or the Persian Empire?
Or the what empire?
Persian.
I think the Persian Empire, slaves in the Persian was probably greater by number. I can't remember exactly
okay.
right now, but I think it was.
Okay, Sarge, let me ask you this question. Okay, all right. And Joe Gibson, I'm not going to ask this question of. Okay, there was a gentleman named Warren, and I've had Warren on our podcast before, and we've been guests on Warren. Why does Joe
yeah,
Gibson
Yeah, we've had a few
Warren?
Run-ins with the brother Warren there. Yeah, quite a few, actually.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, and I was listening to a podcast where Warren, you know, was up against Joe Gibson, and Warren was like Ollie on his toes, bing, 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 all upside his intellectual dome. And he had Joe like a stumble bomb, man, that I hate to say is because the point that Warren was making, when he was talking about the transatlantic slave trade here in the Americas, he was talking about the fact that simply a black man, you was automatically a slave, whether he was quote-unquote free, like the brain-dead Negro who talks about 12 years as a slave, you know, the ass scratches, yassa bosses loving massa more than they love themselves. You see? And he had Joe Penn, man, and then Joe is going to come up there when I called into his show and tell me, oh, well, Shabaka Warren is using you and all that. See, that he's using an age-old Eurocentric trick, divide and conquer. Now, Sarge, on this stuff is we're dealing with Mansa Musa right here, Sarge. It is complicated. It is a lot of material because as you went, you know, stating your point and what have you, I was pulling up a lot of information right here. And there's a lot of links in that chain with it, okay? Our biggest mistake is that when we saw that savage off the coast of our continent, Sarge, okay, with that straight hair and that animalistic, filthy smell, you know what I'm saying? Because, once again, he did not believe in washing his ass, as we proved
on
the
show. He's just been on a ship
yesterday.
For, like, 3 months. Been
okay,
a ship in the ocean for three
Sarge,
months.
Sarge, regardless of the fact, okay, when them pink people came there, man, they had to stand the distance of one city block to talk to, you know, the inhabitants of the continent of Akeblan stating their business. They came with lies, deceit, misinformation, disinformation, and what have you, see. So an ass scratcher like Pianchi would sit up there and he would place more value on that of the colonizer than of his own people. You see what I'm saying? Because our people did not start living in caves, man. We are the original man. You see what I'm saying? The European man is it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, folks, and you're welcome to send your hate mail to us and go to our like page at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We love your hate mail. We love your insults and what have you. And you're welcome to call in. And to call in. At 516-418-5996. And that there is my closing statement for now. And then we're going to go to Brother Che, and then we're going to go to the one and only Sarge for his closing statements. Okay, Sarge, your closing statements, you know, for this segment. Okay, so we don't have the plug pulled on us. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Sarge.
Okay. All right, so I'm just trying to say here, guys, look, I don't care where you looked at any point in history. You can find evidence where at one time people who were once formerly, I guess, civilizationally subordinate, let me put it that way, rather than say backward, because I know that word triggers a lot of y'all. People who are civilizationally subordinate to other groups of people eventually become ascendant over them. This is nothing new in history. People learn. You know, the cultures and civilizations learn. They assimilate ideas from other groups. And you get innovators and inventors that come along, create new systems, institutions, and inventions that surpass the people who originated them. This is common from people who are flexible and know how to adapt, which is the greatest single thing, I think, about Western civilization, because no other civilization developed the scientific method to the extent that Western civilization did, and that is why they ultimately became ascended. So if you think human beings are fixed in time and they are thus forever so, like insects trapped in amber, then you have a misunderstanding of history and the dynamics of it.
Okay, the one and only Sarge. Okay, Brother Che, your closing comments.
Yes, thank y'all for tuning in to Grand Rises with Shabaka and Sarge. Antebellum slavery here in the United States was the most brutal form of slavery in the history of mankind. And we cannot lose sight of that. We're not aging that. We're not celebrating that. We're saying, look, we are owed a debt. It's time that you pay this debt. United States government, United States, pay what you owe. So we're not letting up on them tangibles. This is just the beginning. You can be in all the desperation all you want. You're not getting the black vote come 2024. And if the Republicans don't get their shit right, they won't get the black vote either. So, with all of that being said, make sure y'all check us out tomorrow for Frontline Black News.
Right.
Episode 26, part 1, at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And check us out every Tuesday for Black Experience Enhanced at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. So,
One more thing. Can I say one more thing, Shabaka, before I go off here? I'll be real quick.
Sure, sorry.
I'm going to beg to differ with you that American slavery was the worst of all and most brutal for this one salient, undoubted historical fact. Slaves, because as you just pointed out, they wanted slaves to breed. Remember, the evil slave master wanted to get more slaves because he couldn't import anymore because the Constitution forbade it after the year 1808. We in the United States never developed a eunuch society like them Muslims did, where they chop off your junk. So as far as I'm concerned, that was the most brutal slave practice of all.
They did castrate black men, Sarge.
Tens of thousands of them in the United States. You know, it was nothing like that. They had a formal system to cut your nuts off.
Yes, like that, Sarge.
They had a formal system to cut your nuts off.
Yes, Sarge. They did that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, they never did that in the United States as a formal system.
Yes, they did, Sarge.
They did all of that.
What good is your big buck if your big buck can't reproduce?
Because what will happen is that the raping, slave trade, and pedophile will go violate, you know, young black girls to do that, Sarge. That was a common practice. You see what I'm saying? And this is why we refer to them as the raping, slave trading, pedophile.
On the next show, why don't we do a critique of the movie Mandingo. You want to do that?
That might be fun.
Let's do that, Shabaka.
Tell you what, Sarge. I'm going to accept your challenge on that, Sarge.
That was over the top, man. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to take notes. James Mason was over the goddamn top, man. You can't get no more over the top in his performance in that movie.
Okay, and then also, too, Sergeant, you remember the part where they used to take the little black boy and James Mason, who used to stand on him sitting in the rocking
chair? He absorbed that rheumatism. He put the little black boy at the foot of the bed, and he put his, when he went to sleep at night, the little black boy was there to absorb the rheumatism through the soles of his feet.
And then, of course, you remember the scene where the racist slave trading pedophile was in the bed with Brenda Sykes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We want to do a critique. Because you got too many visions of Mandingo floating around in your head. We're going to help you exercise.
And also, too, Sarge. Okay, hold on, Sarge. And then also, too, when they made that film, the heavyweight champion at that time, you know, the guy that Bianchi and Joe Gibson, hey, so much I ain't got to say his name, where he got up there and said, on the Johnny Carson, so is that you will never see me playing no role like that with Kendall and sit up there and let them white women sit up there on his junk.
See what I mean? You need to be exercising these visions. You got a Mandingo. For some reason, I think you just can't get that movie out of your head.
Sarge, let me explain something.
Well, I think
it would
be a good therapy
Dango.
Session for you to do a critique of the movie Mandingo on your show.
Sarge,
I think it'll help you exercise some demons.
Sarge, I don't have no demons in there because white birds, they were white birds. Black birds, they were black birds. Blue birds, they were black. Blue birds. Hey, man, I love my people.
Right.
To quote, you know, a famous guy, and you know who he was, Sarge. And then, in case you don't know, Brother Che, that there was Ali when they had him on their interview, and I think I forgot it was. I think it was David Frost. You know, keep in mind this is over 50 years ago, and my memory ain't what it used to be. Now, Sarge, in regards to you, Sarge, only because it's you, Sarge. He can do the Mandingo critique anytime he like, Brother Che. He's our co-executive producer. If he wants to write it up, great, beautiful. But
yeah,
also, too, Sarge,
I got it written down.
Okay.
But we're in super overtime, so everybody
okay,
make
yeah, we're yeah. overtime. And then this is going to be my closing statement, too. And then also, too, Brother Che, if you could pull up some of Muhammad Ali's public statements, particularly the one, man, in regard to the war in Vietnam, okay? And as you recall, Brother Che, we got suspended when we made that post up there. You see what I'm saying? And then also, too... Brother Che, we might want to most definitely we have to bring the Queen Mother up, you know, because she's 75 now. See, so we want to do a follow up up on that. You see what I mean? And then also too, for a future show, we might want to talk about the 44th president who did everything for everybody else, but he didn't do nothing for his own. We got to call him out on that. So yes, Sarge, you're gonna get your wish, Sarge. So now what I have to do, Sarge, is have to go out here. Prepare myself for this horror that I'm about to read from Mandingo and what have you. You see what I'm saying? And just the savagery of it. You see, Sarge, and this is why you do not sit there and love your oppressor and hate yourself.
Yeah, the book and the movie. The book and the movie. Because I read the book and I saw the movie.
Well, you're a better man than me, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? I saw the movie, and I couldn't deal with the book because I might blow a gasket or something like that. And at my age, I can't be getting too mad and upset. So I have to prepare myself for this horror. You say what I mean?
Well, actually, between the two, which one was better as a work? I'm not saying either one of them was good. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But between the two, as to which one had the better literary value, or I think the book actually had more than the movie. The movie was almost a caricature and a parody.
Okay, well, see, that's just it, though, Sarge. As they say in Los Angeles, man, the book is always better than the movie.
No, that's true. It's really true.
Yeah. Okay. All right, folks. So
but since I've read them both, and seen them both, I can give you both sides of the issue. I got the book Mandingo in my library, and I got the movie, too.
Okay, Sarge, okay. Like I said, Sarge, you're a better man than me. Okay, see, I would be using your napkin device on there, man. Of those, you know, who came up there to produce that bullshit. You talking about the book by Dina De Laurentiis, right?
No, the book was Kyle Prescott. I forget what his name is. I think his name is Kyle.
Okay, but Dino De Laurentiis is the one that made the movie, correct?
Yeah, he's the producer of the movie, not the author of the book.
Okay, Sarge, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our episode for September 29, 2023. And our out track is going to be Ship Ahoy by the OJs. We thank Sarge. We thank Che and Kuma and what have you. Yaki, we lost respect for you. Joker, you want me to call in with your diatribe and your nonsense and start trying to entertain me. And we share the episode, folks. We like to get our way to the episode, too. Put it simple, guys. And what have you. Not a whole bunch of bullshit, and they're capitalizing greatly. At least, folks, listen to some money. This is about the same core. Air date September 29th, 2023, and we're going out with Ship Ahoy.
Can't you?